Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
You know, I don't know if y'all have seen that meme out there, but it's kind of a millennial meme. So I guess it really only speaks to me and maybe James, depending on your birthday. But as a millennial, I'm really tired of living in unprecedented times. Like, I'm ready to be back in the precedented times. But when it comes to Army football, I am perfectly happy living in the unprecedented times, because these truly are unprecedented times. Army beat Tulane to win the American Athletic Conference in their very first year. Navy's been in the American for 10 years, has never won the American. Black Knights are now 11-1, second 11-win season, have a legitimate shot at finishing the season 13-1 for the first time ever. Up next, we have the mids from the boat school down in Annapolis, biggest game of the season. Gentlemen, how are we doing? Dano, over to you.
Good, man. Got to go to Mikey Stadium and watch them beat Tulane to win the American.
Freeze your ass off.
And you know what? It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was like a skiing day, and I was good. My wife did start shivering in the fourth quarter, though, and in retrospect, I should have insisted that we use the electric blanket that we bought for that purpose. Now she got a little cold, but it was worth it. You know, what's a little pain for glory?
Pain for glory. James, what are your thoughts?
Very excited. It was, I'll put it down below, but I guess I'll bring it up now. 7 years in Conference USA, they had 9 conference wins. Everyone was bitching and complaining when they joined the American. This is going to be another program tailspin. This is going to be a reliving of the Todd Berry days. And if you're a fan of the show, you know, that wasn't going to be the case. Competitive year one, they equaled their 7-year conference win total in year one in the American, win the conference, and things are looking good.
That's pretty impressive. Rob, I know you're the angry colonel, but are you angry today?
No, not so angry. I do have a reason to be angry, but the reality of it is Army has opportunity to pick up hardware for the next 2 weeks in college football. To be a little salty, though, you know, the snub of the Heisman committee on Bryson Daly is a little bit offensive. And, you know, I think it's ultimately very apropos of this season. You know, Army and Navy are doing well in the early half of the season. And then every sports reporter has to write a human interest piece on what player on their favorite team has somebody associated with the military. You know, it's kind of gross. I mean, it's a cheap plug. I guess you got to do it for marketing. So I'm not going to, you know, fault those guys for trying to get eyeballs on them. But the reality of it is like, you're going to tell us about the, you know, the kicker that did 4.5 years in the Army or whatever it was for Notre Dame, but you're not going to invite, you know, a guy who legitimately has tied the NCAA record for total touchdowns in the season and still has one game to play to New York. It's kind of odd.
It's a little sketchy. You know, the establishment hates the troops, but you know who doesn't hate the troops? Jocelyn Bradley. That's our sponsor for today. If you're PCSing into Fort Liberty, we have the realtor for you. Jocelyn's a veteran who spent her career in logistics. There she discovered her passion for making a difference in people's lives. She's committed to helping her clients find their dream home when they're in the market. She provides exceptional service. Rob, I know you and Jocelyn have talked before. Can you tell us a little bit more about what she does and why it's so impactful?
Yeah, like, if you ever remember Glengarry Glen Ross, like, she drinks a lot of coffee because she is a closer. Like, she closes houses. She's closed about close to, I want to say, 350 in 5 years. So she does a lot. Like, every time you see a listing, it goes up. A couple of days later, it's under contract. So she really works hard to get, you know, the people that are in the market for a home there. And like I said before, I think I said it on the round table. Hey, I trust her with my life as a jump master to throw me out of a moving airplane. So if I can trust her to do that, I can certainly trust her to find a house that's not moving at 70 knots or faster.
There you go. What an endorsement. Well, if you didn't watch the game, you missed out because Army smoked Tulane like a pack of cigars, or pack of cheap cigars, 35-14. Pretty much everything worked this past Friday. We turned the green wave away with no points on their first drive, and then we scored a touchdown, and that's kind of how the whole game went. Very good bend don't break defense. Tulane had 324 yards, but only scored twice. One was in garbage. Both were really in garbage time at the beginning of the first and second half. Army forced field goals in the red zone. Tulane missed both of them on their first two drives. Forced interception by Andon Thomas, who's a linebacker. Turned the ball over on a kickoff. Forced a turnover on downs late in the game. Really, just everything went right for Army. You know, Dan wrote about it a lot in his article, but you could see how much Tulane did not want to be there, especially in the second half. You know, they came out somewhat fired up, but just seeing their guys with the beanies pulled low over their heads and, you know, their chins tucked into the shirt and they got the cape on, shivering on the sideline halfway through the game, you kind of got the impression that Tulane didn't really want to be there. And their defensive line did not want to be there because the Army O-line dominated at the point of attack. Great perimeter blocking. Everything that we couldn't quite get going against Notre Dame or even UTSA, we got going against Tulane. Noah Short, outside carry for 17 yards. Kanye Udo ran it twice right after that, 5 yards, 6 yards. Really kind of set the tone. Ran for 335 yards on 57 carries. That's 5.9 yards per carry. Udo had 20 carries, 158 yards, and a touchdown. Bryson Daly, 25 carries, 126 yards, and 4 touchdowns, both passing attempts for 17 yards. Short had 8 carries for 50 yards. Up until the halfway through the third quarter, our defense had more receptions than our offense. We had not thrown the ball once. The defense had an interception. Really couldn't have drawn it up any better than this. Guys, what are your thoughts? Rob, we'll go to you first.
Yeah, so two things, like on the offense. What a performance. I mean, again, it's always nice to see Army win, but in a dominant fashion like that, it's pretty impressive. Also having flashbacks because Casey Reynolds like needs to change his number, because when I see a possession receiver with the number 87, it reminds me of Ed McCafferty. Too many flashbacks of watching Oakland and Denver. Hurts my soul to see a guy catch like that, but then I realize that he's on the Army team and I'm okay with it. But the other part of it is like Udo and Daly, what more can we say about a perfect, you know, power and speed combo? I mean, you've got Daly running over people, you've got Udo running away from people, and then you toss Noah Short in the mix, and, you know, you're looking at, you know, almost 3,000 yards of total offense between those three players. So it's pretty impressive, you know, just to see that kind of performance. And it was very, very complimentary with what the defense was doing.
Yeah. Corey in Firsty Club had a great comment. The kicker laid the hammer and stripped the ball on kickoff. So I know we talked about how, you know, Tulane turned the ball over on a kickoff. That was the kicker doing that. So just the amount of physicality and intensity the Army Black Knights brought was a beautiful thing. James, what were your thoughts watching the game?
Yeah, so on that same Daly and Udo vein, through 12 games, Daly and Udo are 14 yards shy from breaking the all-time rushing duo record that Bradshaw and Wolfolk set back in 2017. And if they do it, if they can gain 15 yards next week, they'll have done it in the same number of games. So pretty cool to see that. It just gives you an idea of how dominant this offensive line has been as compared to years past. I believe that 2017 offensive line had Brett Toth and who was the center? Bryce Holland. I mean, that was a very good offensive line. This one, you know, I don't know if we'll have any NFL picks, but when you add 20 pounds of linemen, it certainly doesn't hurt you. And then second, obviously, pretty much how you draw it up, came out after the fact that Tulane's quarterback, Darian Mensa, was entering the transfer portal. Some of the reports from the Tulane accounts were saying that was fairly well known amongst the team headed into the game. So maybe that explains to an extent the Army defense's shutdown of Tulane's offense that's been rather high powered to this point. The really impressive thing to me was, you know, we'll get towards the back end of the schedule. You have Air Force, you have a backup quarterback, you only score 20 points. You have North Texas, you only score 14 points. You have Notre Dame, you score 14 points. UTSA, they did score 29 points, but that's not what you would have expected on the first half of the year. I get it. It was cold. This was an O-line performance that we against a very good defense we have not seen since pre-Air Force. So that was probably the biggest takeaway for me from this game.
Yeah, we look good. You know, admittedly, I was a little nervous. Oh, we got a conference championship right before Navy, but seeing the way we played, it definitely inspired some confidence. Dano?
Yeah, one thing I thought was interesting that I noticed late in the game is that Army kept moving back and forth from the flex bone to the pistol or a spread set before the snap. And Tulane, you know, their defense was moving back and forth, shifting like crazy, trying to keep up. And the Green Wave really respected the pass, and all that shifting forced them to respect the pass, which is interesting because you don't normally think of Army as like this passing team, but you know, they throw two passes, complete both of them. One of them was on 4th and 5, and the other one I think was in was on like 2nd and 9 or something. They complete that. It was just wild to see, you know, these guys go to the spread in Tulane, move out there and be ready for the pass. And then Bryson Daly runs a quarterback draw out of the spread for like 8 yards. That's just,
and Dan, I'll say, I think there was a lot more of that once Army had a healthy lead.
Yeah.
And I wonder how much of that is trying to give certain looks to their next opponent to set things up.
Well, it was certainly effective because, and we'll talk about this more, but I fully expect them to throw kind of a lot in this next game based on this performance, because they showed that they're prepared to move to some of these other looks and do some other stuff. And, you know, then we talked about this before, right? UTSA has the best rushing defense in the American Conference at allowing 3 yards per carry. And Army's at just under 4, Tulane's at just over 4, and then Navy's at 4.3. But with that said, Navy's got four first-team all-AAC players and 3 all-AAC second-team players. And with the exception of their punter, all those guys play on defense. So it'll be interesting to see how they can match up. But this had to give you a lot of confidence. I mean, it really did, because Tulane certainly stoned the crap out of Navy's offense. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. It was a beautiful thing. It was a beautiful thing to watch. Let's review the fact or fiction. So Dano said Army gets at least 1 sack and 1 interception. That's fact. Army had exactly 1 sack, 1 interception. Rob said Udo and Daly, 150 yards rushing. That was fact. Udo had 158 by himself. We had the first week club say Army has 2 passing TDs. That was fiction. We only threw 2 passes, Dan said. Neither were for a touchdown. First club less than 2 field goals total. That was fact. Tulane missed their 2 field goals. Wow. Speaking of not wanting to miss something, Dan, why don't you tell us how our listeners could potentially miss out on $1,300?
So I sat in the stands with Craig Oxane through most of the 3rd and 4th quarter. And as you know, he sponsors this show. He is an area sales manager and mortgage broker at the Money Store, a member of the West Point class of 1995, licensed to lend in all 50 states. Craig is one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal that he possibly can. That's important because the mortgage process is freaking confusing. Interest rates moving all over the place. You have to sign all this paperwork. You don't know what's going on. You would really like to talk to someone who cares about you, who will answer your questions, who's a real human and not like AI or a call center, big box bank, random webs, mindless website, like a lot of bad actors out there who just want to take advantage of you and rip your face off. And this is how the West Point Network functions, right? Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we possibly can by introducing you to Craig. Plus, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. As Jordan mentioned, that is a huge savings, like $1,300. Save yourself $1,300. Like, it is too easy. So Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. The link is on our website. Just click on his little business card. I've got green ones. Right now they're green and blue, but the green ones are going up sooner or later. And it'll take you, you'll fill out a little questionnaire. You'll be talking to Craig in a couple of hours.
Normally, Dan, I'd make fun of you for sounding like a boomer, you know, ranting against AI and technology and all that. But in this instance, you do not want to go through an AI chatbot to get a mortgage. To a person. Craig's the person to talk to.
You don't have to make fun of him for that. You could just make fun of him for not knowing his X number.
That's true. I mean, it was so long ago, he can't remember. They probably didn't have X numbers back in the day. They had Omega numbers or something. So back when they had the Greek alphabet.
I think Rob can help you out with what his X number was.
Yeah. It was maybe one or two. Well, I mean, it's got to be single digits, right? It can't be triple digits. It can't be. Fair. Oh, Dan.
No,
we're so sorry, but we're not.
No, we're not. Not at all. All right, hey, let's talk Army-Navy. Biggest game of the year. Navy's coming into America's game at 8-3, ranked third in the American. They beat Bucknell, Temple, Memphis, UAB, Air Force, and Charlotte. And they lost to Notre Dame 51-14. Lost next week at Rice 24-10 after, what was a 9 or 11-hour rain delay. Then they beat USF 28-7, and they lost at home to Tulane 35-0, and then finished by beating ECU 34-20. You know, they had a really strong start to the season. That being said, Bucknell's not a great team. Temple's not a great team. UAB's and Air Force, not a great team. Charlotte's not a great team. So Memphis was their only kind of good win before they got pummeled by Notre Dame and then Rice. USF's halfway decent, and then we know that ECU's a marginal football team. So looking at the record, you know, they didn't play UTSA like we did. And I don't know. I think we probably have a little bit of a stronger schedule, stronger strength of record, but let's talk about their offense. Dano, I know you spent quite a bit of time kind of studying this and how Horvath does his thing. As a total sidebar, I would love for any quarterback in college football to have the last name of Horvath, but of course it's at freaking Navy. So I got to tell everybody, no, I'm not related to the guy. Like, don't want anything to do with him. Don't. So anyway, but Dan, Blake Horvath over there, quarterback, what do they do?
So Navy's offense is now a hybrid wing T, very much dependent on having a quarterback who knows what the hell he is looking at and what he's doing out there, which you will know if you read James' article today, because he gets into this in detail. And I'm not going to rehash all of that, but if you haven't read it, definitely do that, because he runs some pretty interesting statistics about the way Navy plays. Rumor had it earlier in the week that Braxton Woodson was actually going to start, but then Blake Horvath came on social media this morning and said, no, he's ready to go and he's playing. So we're going to go with that.
Did you see the interview he gave when they?
Well, I didn't watch the whole thing. I just, you know.
It didn't inspire a ton of confidence. They're like, oh, you know, you've taken a lot of hits this year. How do you feel? Oh, yeah, everything kind of hurts. Everything's kind of banged up. Like, what part hurts? Oh, everything hurts. Like, it didn't really make you feel like the guys kind of, you know, Daly's like, oh, hit me again, please. This guy kind of sounded like, oh, I've been hurt and I would like to not get hurt again. So,
did you see that kid get crushed by that Tulane linebacker on the blitz?
He got crushed a lot. They showed a little bit of a highlight or maybe a low light reel of every time he's gotten his ass handed to him. And it was.
They got him on a blitz and the dude hit him right in the ribs at full speed and it looked painful. So
yeah,
not surprised that he struggled to stay in the lineup. But at any rate, he's been outstanding this year. Notwithstanding getting beaten up some. 69 of 118 passing for 1150 yards, about 58.5% completion percentage, 11 touchdowns against 4 interceptions and 8 sacks. Yeah, that's pretty good. 8 sacks is not overwhelming. He leads the mids in rushing with 133 carries for just under 900 yards, just under 7 yards per carry. He's got 13 touchdowns. So just for perspective's sake, Bryson Daly has thrown about 40% fewer passes with a similar overall completion percentage, but he's had way fewer picks. Daly has also taken about twice as many carries for about 1 full yard per carry less, but way more rushing touchdowns. And a lot of that's just down to scheme. I mean, the Black Knights like to use Daly in short yardage and goal line situations, and I don't know that's what they're doing with Horvath. And at this point in the season, I don't know why you would do that with him either, because he's just going to get pounded. Fullbacks Alex Teska has 101 carries for 501 yards, 5 yards per carry, obviously, 7 rushing touchdowns. He's also got 11 catches for about 200 yards and 2 receiving touchdowns. You know, just by way of comparison, again, Kanye Udo has fully 50% more carries than Teska, and damn near 1.5 yards per carry more with three more rushing touchdowns. Slot back Eli Heidenreich, 55 carries for 402 yards, 7.3 yards per carry. He's got three rushing touchdowns. He's also got 36 catches for about 600 yards, five receiving touchdowns. And, you know, just to finish off with the comparison, Noah Short has about 20% fewer carries than Heidenreich for about one more yard per carry, but way fewer rushing touchdowns. Short also has way fewer receptions than Heidenreich. That's probably because the Mids don't really have a wide receiver on their team that fits into the Casey Reynolds mold like we have on Army. They just don't use their wide receivers that much. They're throwing to their backs. Their closest guy is wide receiver Nathan Kent, who's got just eight receptions, although for almost 200 yards and two touchdowns. You know, final note, and this is straight cribbing from James' article today, Navy's offense can be much more explosive than the Black Knights, but they're much less likely to drive the full length of the field on any given drive. So they've punted 49 times this year. You know, by comparison, Army has just 22 punts all season, and that's with an additional game. So the Mids are converting just under 40% of their third downs, where Army hits 50% of theirs. And on fourth down, Navy's gone 13 of 21, or 62%. By comparison, Army's gone 25 of 33, or 76%. So that's how you punt.
And Dan, I'll say it's last year Navy was reliant on both explosive plays and turnovers in order to score because they were fairly incapable. And I think it was in all but three of their games, they couldn't drive the ball down the field in a sort of play-by-play, set-of-downs-by-set-of-downs manner. This year, they're less reliant on the explosive plays, and Army's actually getting a greater percentage of their touchdowns off of turnovers, but it's not the same reliance because they still have the ability. Army still has the ability to drive down the field in a play-by-play manner. It just so happens they have some ball hawks in the secondary, and so they happen to be scoring more off of turnovers.
Right. I mean, just imagine Jeff Monken punting 2.5 times per game. The guy's head would have exploded by game six.
Do you remember watching the 2015 season?
I think we've all tried to repress that, or at least I have.
I was sitting in the stands for every game and prepared a deep dive on that one in the offseason.
Yeah. Rob, take us to the defense.
All right, on to the defense. Despite pulling all those guys in first and second all-conference team, Navy's rush defense has not been remotely good as it's been in years past, allowing 159.8 yards per game on fully 4.3 yards per carry. That's 85th overall in FBS. That's on par with what Air Force has done this season, and that's after Air Force has kind of turned it around in the latter half of the ball season. So they weren't doing great up front. Kind of made some adjustments, changed out their quarterback, and actually started doing better. Really, if the game was anything other than Army-Navy, we would say that the Black Knights have a pretty good chance of running against their defense. I mean, that's been habitually what we've seen against other opponents this season. But again, rivalry games toss all the stats out the window. The Mids play defense by forcing turnovers and getting stacks. They have 17 interceptions, 3 forced fumbles, 2 fumble recoveries. That's good for a +6 turnover margin. So they're 30th overall in FBS. They have 22 sacks. Their top 5 tacklers are Colin Ramos, Kyle Jacob. Those are both linebackers. You have Rayon Lane, who's a safety, defensive end Luke Prius, and safety Jackson Campbell. Ramos may be the best player on the entire team. He has 110 tackles, 46 solo, 1 pass defended, and a forced fumble. Lane has 61 tackles, 42 solos, 2 picks, and 3 forced fumbles. Prius and Campbell both have 2.5 sacks, and quarterback Deshaun Peel leads the team with 4 interceptions. You know, solid defense for Navy again, not surprising because their coach, you know, their head coach used to be the defensive coordinator, probably not going to be a tremendous area of weakness. Not as good as they've been in past years, but does not mean that they can't be a formidable challenge, particularly in a service academy game.
James, special teams.
Yeah, you guys remember a couple of years ago, Harbaugh and Day did an interview before the game on Fox where they asked each coach to say something nice about the other team. I'm going to do that here. I'm going to say something nice. I'll give credit where due. Thank you for having pronounceable names on your specialists. place kicker, Nathan Kirkwood. As compared to Trey Gennotti, he's got a little bit of a stronger leg from what we've seen. He's hit a couple from long, I think as long as 46. Gennotti hasn't hit one longer than, or, you know, 40 or longer. But he's had some consistency problems on the short kick. So he's 43 of 47 on extra points, and he missed a 21 yarder last game. So some inconsistency from the short game, but potentially a little bit longer of a leg than what, say, Army might be used to. They have the first-team American Conference punter in Riley Reithman. He's kicked 49 times, as we've said. He's averaging 46 yards a punt, which is quite impressive. He's got a really long boot. If there's anywhere that's sort of a point of note with him is accuracy. He does put about 10% of his punts into the end zone for touchbacks, a decent amount go for 50 plus. So he does have a strong boot, but he does put him into the end zone perhaps a little bit more than you'd like, whereas Wagenseller has zero touchbacks on the year.
James, we're going to talk about takes on the game in just a minute, but before we do that, and I'm about to jump in the weather, I know we saw today that Army players and coaches were not able to get down for the media day due to fog in the area. And scrolling Navy Twitter, I had to admittedly unblock and unmute some accounts. They are quite hysterical that Army was not there. And I know you have a little bit more of a pulse on the college football world, especially at Navy. Do you think they're confident heading into this matchup?
Be honest. I think after the past few seasons Navy's been through at the end of the Ken era and then having a new head coach last year, a lot of Navy fans are sort of happy to be a winning program and going to a bowl. Their confidence, I don't know. I think Navy's really excited. Navy fans, at least, are really excited for next year, right? Horvath is a junior. Heidenreich is a junior. Tezka is a junior. Chapman is a junior. So a lot of these big players are all going to be firsties next year, and I think they're really excited for that. I think that they're basically acknowledging, hey, this game's a crapshoot. We're not favorited, but it could go either way. You know, we've won as an underdog and lost as a favorite all in the last 3 years. So, I think they're sort of, hey, is this the year? Maybe I would be happy if it would. And I think a lot of them are kind of, hey, next year is really going to be a big year for us.
Yeah. Okay. Dan, Rob, y'all hearing similar things, different things?
I mean, I had a conversation with Mark the Witty Mitty shortly after the American Conference Championship game, and he was surprised, to say the very least, to have seen how Army handled Tulane, considering the Navy got handled by Tulane not very many weeks ago. So up until that Tulane game, I got the sense that a lot of Navy fans thought, Army hasn't played anybody, so we're better than them. It just hasn't shown up on paper. And then the Tulane game happened, and they were like, oh, shit, what does that mean?
I think the problem is with the Tulane game is they were two very different situations. You have Navy's starting quarterback get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
And have a backup who might be a better quarterback, but clearly wasn't comfortable in this complicated offense they're running. And he looked a lot better against ECU in the second half once he had four quarters of football under him. So comparing Tulane results to Tulane result, I don't find particularly convincing. I think the most convincing thing was specifically the offensive line performance in both of those two games.
Yeah. So I'll agree with everything you said there. The biggest difference being Tulane stoned that defense and Army ran right through them. And there's a lot going on, and it's not an apples to apples comparison for sure. And also, Tulane's head coach had them warm up without their shirts on in 28 degree weather, which is not the way that you would really prepare for a ski day if you were going to ski in 28 degree weather. So, you know, what are you going to do?
Fair enough.
Home field advantage matters. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
it does. It does. So, all right. Hey, but talking about weather for Army Navy, cloudy temps, low to mid 40s. Kickoff falling into the upper 30s as the game wears on. Possible showers there in the evening. Hopefully not during the game itself. Game open is a pick-em. Moved to Army minus 2.5. Moved to Army minus 4.5 after we won the championship. Moved to Army 6.5 with rumors that Horvath wouldn't play, and then kind of went up to Army minus 7. Now it's kind of back at 6.5. For what it's worth, S&P Plus has Army at plus 10.9, which is 28. Navy's at plus 2.7, which is 61st. That should set the line at Army minus 8, give or take. And the over-under has fallen steadily from 44.5 to 39. James, I know I kind of touched a little bit on your thoughts for the game, but any other – how do you want to kind of round this out for you?
Yeah, so this is going to be one of those sort of weird games, and I'm interested to see how Cody Worley plays it. I think Munkin and Worley think – And this might be the case. I think it is the case that they have an advantage in their offensive line, right? I think they think their offensive line is better than Navy's offensive line compared to the defensive lines they'll be facing. Part of that has to do with weight. Part of that has to do with seniority. Army's offensive line has not started anyone but their five starters in any game this year. So that's super valuable. So if you see a 0-0 game at halftime, I don't think you're going to see Army get crazy. I think you're going to see Army continue to play scratch golf until, you know, play for par until they're forced to do something otherwise. Last year was much of the same. They did attempt, I think it was a 4th-and-2 or a 4th-and-1. They had that one pass where there was defensive holding that didn't get called, and they turned the ball over on downs before the interception. But I just don't see them taking risks early in this game. I think they have the advantage, and they're going to play as if they're the better team. However, if Army ends up down 7-0 in the first quarter, the calculus changes. Because these games have so little scoring that's a huge disadvantage. Being down 7-0 to North Texas is not the same as being down 7-0 in a CIC game. So I think they, even if they're making their on schedule runs, they're going to be doing things if they're at a disadvantaged position, to get back into it. And that's where you're going to start to see passing and trick plays and all these sorts of weird play calls. I don't think they're going to do that when they're tied or have a lead.
Rob, do you agree with that?
Yes. And the reason why I say that is because we saw that someone in the UTSA game, it was called a little bit conservatively, you know, because it was a lot closer. I hope that it doesn't get to the point where Army's calling the game conservatively. Like deep down inside my heart of hearts, I'd like to see a blowout, or at least, you know, the offensive line get a lot of push. And I'm willing to take, you know, field goals over touchdowns in a Service Academy game, because those points are going to be at a premium regardless of how the outcome goes. Honestly, I would like to see the defense play well. The scheme that they're running, the sling T, it's an odd one to cover, just because it's a lot of, you know, it's very, very much like a flex bone. It's a lot of misdirection pre-snap. It's a lot of pre-snap eye candy. And so making sure that we play assignment football on defense is probably the more important part, you know, not so much the defense. I think the offense is going to create their opportunities just by driving the football, because we've got the talent to do that. But on defense, I haven't seen a lot of pre-snap movement or a very erratic offense pre-snap. And so I just hope that the defense gets into better position. Front seven, I think it's a pretty decent matchup, 7-on-7. But I think the pre-snap motion and all the eye candy can get people distracted from their actual assignments, and that could create opportunities.
Yeah. Dana, what are your thoughts?
I think Navy's defense compares overall to ECU's. ECU maybe has a bigger defensive line. Navy might have better players in the secondary. Certainly they had more all-conference players in the secondary. But overall, these are like statistically similar programs on defense, and ECU really understood how to sort of defend the triple, especially on the outside. And with that in mind, we saw almost no outside runs, right? There were zero pitch plays. They didn't run that sweep. Instead, Bryson Daly went 7 of 10 passing for 157 yards and a touchdown. Like, he threw a lot to back those safeties up because that's what the defense was giving him. And we've seen that this year more than we've ever seen that before from this program. Army willing to throw when those safeties are up at the line of scrimmage. And that is what I think we're going to see this week. A lot of inside runs, a lot of quarterback zone out of the shotgun. And if that defense creeps up towards the line of scrimmage, Daly's going to throw. And if they never, ever creep back and respect the pass, you might see Daly throw for 300. Like, I actually think that's possible. So we'll talk about this in my factor fiction, but I'm sort of expecting a lot of passing. Why would they not pass? Daly is completing a ton of passes. He's been very, very accurate lately, especially since he's been fully healthy in the last couple of games. Like, he looked a little sketchy in the North Texas game because he was obviously still playing kind of hurt, but the dude has been on point ever since. And on defense, I feel like we've seen this, right? You don't want to give up explosive plays, force turnovers down by the goal line. They can do that. They can win. In that sense, this game is just like any other game.
I'll push back on the passing a little bit. I think they passed against, they didn't pass against Tulane. They threw two passes.
Well, they didn't have to.
Right. And they didn't, they passed against UTSA because they were made to.
Yeah.
But UTSA was scoring a lot in that game. And if this is your typical, you know, CIC game where the final score is going to be 13 to 10, I just don't see them taking that risk unless they're down.
Okay.
I don't, and I could be on an island here. I don't know if this is going to be a typical CIC game.
Because I don't think it's going to be either.
What I've seen all year is an Army team that gets better and better every week. In the last few weeks, Notre Dame, not our finest moment, sure, immediately had to turn around and get a gritty, tough win over UTSA and then execute the highest level against Tulane. I think Army has found it, and I think Navy is not as good as people think they might be, and I think that I don't think that this is going to be a typical CIC game. I think Army has an opportunity to blow this one open. And
one thing,
on the record, the last few years, I've always said, oh, this is going to be come down to one point. Who is the ball last? That's always kind of been my stance. For whatever reason, this one just feels different. So, like I said, I could be out there on an island, but Dan, I have to agree with you.
One thing that was very interesting this year was that Navy ran their normal offense against Air Force. I cannot think of the last time in a CIC game the offense trotted out there and just ran what they run. Like, they always throw in 9 different packages to try to mess with the defense and X, Y, and Z. And granted, they didn't have to because they won that game handily. And they, as a part of their offense, are running 9 different packages, and there wasn't a lot of film on it by the Air Force game, and Air Force couldn't figure it out. They figured it out better than Memphis did, but not, you know, they didn't have it figured out well enough. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Navy run their normal offense. That'll be new. I mean, we haven't seen that in a while. I don't know whether Army is going to run their normal offense, right? Like, they didn't against Air Force, but yeah. Daly was out. So that'll be an interesting key to look at. Is the first drive all out of the shotgun for Army? Are they doing all kinds of weird formations and weird motions in those first few drives? And then how do they adjust to that?
Yeah, and to be clear, I don't think it's going to be 21-0 with 48 seconds left in the first half like it was against Tulane. You know, I think it'll probably 7-7 or 7-3 at halftime. But I think Navy's offense this year is a lot of flash. I think early in the season, it was new, it was sexy, it was confusing. As more and more people got film on it, they started to figure out. And as people started getting hurt and they weren't performing at 100%, I think it got easier to exploit. So I think it's going to be half close for the first half. Navy loves to rally late, but I could see us probably getting up by a couple scores in the third quarter and then winning by a touchdown or two.
One thing I will say is that letting Navy hang around, as explosive as they are, is its own kind of risk. Like playing it conservative and saying we're going to win on the last play of the game, that is its own kind of risk because they have
Navy's going to break. Navy is going to break a 50-plus yard play in this game.
They do it all the time against everybody. I couldn't agree more. So not planning for that, not sort of putting a hammer down from the start. That's its own risk, in my opinion. Like, and I feel like we've seen that so much from this team in these games that it blew up on us in 2021.
Yeah, so. No, absolutely. It is definitely a risk. Navy is 100% going to break one, and we're all going to be in the stands going, "Oh my, how did you not cover that guy?" It's going to happen. But like we've talked about, Navy punts 2.5 times as much as we, and they're just not as consistent, and they're not going to be able to continually drive down the field. So I think they're going to have some boom drives, and then they're going to make a mistake. And the Army offense defense is going to get a pick. And then we're going to march down the field and score. And so I think if we play our brand of football, this isn't going to be a very competitive game. But I think if we make mistakes and Navy's executing at a high level, I think we could be in trouble.
All right.
So that's my takes. We have a lot of news in terms of kind of Army news. Matt Drinkle, offensive line and co-offensive coordinator, is going to Central Michigan. Munkin is rumored to go to UNC or West Virginia potentially. And then bowl selection, we are playing against Marshall in the Radiance Technologies Independence Bowl.
And half of Marshall's team is already in the portal.
Well, and I saw Marshall's coach has left. So their first and second string quarterback have left.
And third string
players. Oh, and third string.
They're going to be starting. If they start who I think they're going to start, they're going to start like a redshirt sophomore who threw one pass last year for Marshall and then threw an FCS 2 years ago.
I've seen some risk that Marshall won't be able to have a legitimate football team.
I mean, Army will score 100 points in that game if they want to.
Yeah,
I mean, they absolutely should, just because at this point you have to sort of make people pay for putting us in the position, right? I mean, that you only have the one way to sort of punish the gods of college football. So, all right. Well, Jordan had to drop off, so I guess now it is time to do a little fact or fiction. But before we do that, let's just congratulate Coach Drinkle on getting his promotion to head coach of Central Michigan. Man, that is awesome. The rest of these rumors are a little nutty, but that is an unmitigated, glorious good time. So let's be happy about that. And with that said, let's do fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob.
All right, so I'm going to stick with Mr. Speed Guy and say Kanye Udo has 100 yards rushing in this game.
That's tough, man.
And that's why I'm saying Service Academy game, 100-yard rushing, that's going to be a tough road to hoe, but I'm going to say fact. But I don't know.
Yeah, I think fiction. I going with the ECU thing, Daly carried the ball 31 times against ECU, and if they end up just pounding the rock, they're going to pound the rock with Daly out of the shotgun. I mean, they did that shit last year. I mean, exactly what they did last year is definitely what I think they're going to try.
Yeah, for sure.
I think 100 yards. I don't even know the last time an Army player
had 100 yards in a Navy game. Yeah.
I mean, it must have been Bradshaw. That'd be my first guess. Udo had 88 last year. I think they're if they're going to brute force this offense, which is how you get 100 plus rushing yards for any given player against Navy, it's going to be with Daly, not Udo. That's just my hunch. So I'm going to go fiction.
Okay. Sounds good.
James.
All right. I'm going to say that both Horvath and Braxton Woodson get at least a set of downs in the first two drives.
Interesting.
Ooh.
That's really interesting.
You remember, I don't know which way it was, when it was Arline and Lavatai, they trotted one of them out for a set of downs, and then I don't think he played for the remainder of the game, or maybe he played, a little bit later on or something like that. But two or three years ago, they were like, well, is he hurt? Is he not hurt? This and that. And then they trotted him out for one set of downs, and then that was it.
Yeah, I do remember that happening.
Oof. Interesting. That's interesting.
Is that a prop bet?
That's such a good prop bet. That's such a good prop bet. I'm going to say fiction. Honestly, because that's a stupid thing to do. Like tactically, I understand why you would do it, but I just think it's nutty. So I'm going to say fiction, but what an interesting thing that would be if Horvat came out, took the first dozen snaps, and then we never saw him again. Like, that'd be nutty.
If you're trying to, if he's not 100% and you have more faith in Woodson, that's what you do. You put out on your Twitter, I'm ready for Saturday. You go on a radio show, I'm a little banged up, this and that, but I'm ready for Saturday. And then you trot him out there for the first set of downs, and then he's done.
Yeah, I mean, how hurt is he?
Why, though?
Why did Army keep it a secret that Daly was hurt until it got fooled the day before Air Force? Because they want Army to prepare for the wrong quarterback.
No, I got that. But those, okay, I guess what I'll say is I don't think Horvath and Woodson run the offense differently. But that's not the same with Army's quarterbacks.
Like, oh, I think Horvath has a better arm. I think Horvath is more effective passing, and it will absolutely change how Army's defense prepares. But I could be wrong.
Okay. Well, anyway, give me fiction, but that's a really interesting one.
Rob? Yeah, you make a very compelling argument. I'm going to say fiction, but would not be surprised if it happened.
And I'm going to go fact.
All right. Mine is Army completes at least 15 passes in this game. And James, I already know what you're going to say.
Fiction.
Yeah.
I hope not. I hope not. I'll say that.
All right.
Yeah. Rob? I'm going to say fiction. Look. They were rolling up on Tulane and they only threw twice. You know, I don't think Coach Munkin will throw unless they absolutely have to. And I think they threw out of spite because the commentators were talking about him in the second half.
Has Daly thrown 15 times in a game this year?
I don't think he's thrown
once.
He went 10 of 17 against ECU.
Against UTSA.
UTSA, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, maybe I should have made that 12.
Yeah, maybe.
Too fucking late now.
I'd still call it fiction.
All right. Well, we'll say 12. Army completes 12 passes, and I guess you can give me fact.
All right. You tossed this in here, James, but not you, Brigade Review, but Pagano. Rob would rather break Horvath as his family member than Ross Tucker. That is Jordan, actually. But we'll have to ask him next time he's on the show if that is something that he would respond to.
Jordan did throw one in here if we want to do it.
Oh, really? He has one. Whoa.
Yeah. If you read the preview, you might have some inside info, but Army's defense has at least one pick. I'm going to go fact. If Horvath or Woodson had enough throws to be eligible for, you know, passing stats, they would have an interception per passing attempt rate that is higher than any eligible passer. And Army's got some DBs that are ball hawks.
Yeah, I think all four defensive backfield players actually have a pick between all four of them. So all four in the defensive backfield have interceptions.
Yeah.
I think that's a fact for sure.
Yeah, I also think that's a fact just because, you know, Chandler Morris, second team all conference quarterback, came into that game with like basically no picks on the season, and he threw two. Guy from UTSA, Owen McCowan, had barely thrown any picks. He threw two. Darian Mensa from Tulane, six picks all year. He throws one. Freaking egregious pick. Yeah. These guys are getting those picks. I mean, that's just part of what's occurring.
Yeah, we do have one from the chat. So, fact or fiction, Bryson Daly breaks the FBS record for rushing TDs held by a Navy quarterback against Navy. Fact or fiction?
So he needs four, right?
No, he needs two to tie.
He needs two to tie, yeah.
Oh, three and three to go up? Yeah, give me fact for sure.
Three Daly touchdowns in an Army-Navy game.
Yeah. Have you seen this? The way they run? Three is par for him.
Who was the last Army quarterback to have three rushing touchdowns in an Army-Navy game?
I don't care. Dave, listen, this is the best team.
I'm not sure there's going to be three touchdowns total in this game, Dan.
No. Listen, in all sincerity, this is the best Army team since 1958.
He's going to break it this year for sure. I don't think he breaks it against Navy.
Well, he's going to... he's going to score 50 against Marshall, apparently.
If they don't, that's going to be
gonna let him play.
You have the senior. Are you going to let him play against the JV squad for four quarters?
Yeah, they'll put him out as wide. No. They'll put him out as wide receiver or tight end. What's the worst that can happen?
Hey, we might get to see Terry's kid out there, which would actually rule.
Yeah. That would be cool. I'm going to get fiction on that one.
You might. Yeah, I'm thinking the same thing. I'm leaning with James. I don't know if he's going to break it, but he'll certainly tie it. So I'm going to say fiction.
All right. I think this game is going to be higher. I would take the over in this game. This Navy rushing defense is not as good as they have been. I realize that I'm on an island saying that, but it's the simple reality.
It's more so the desire for both teams to chew as much clock as humanly possible. That is going to limit possessions and limit scoring. But
all right, okay, but man, they have punted like a little more than 1.5 times per game. Like I could definitely, although it would be kind of freaky, but I could definitely imagine a world in which Army does not punt in this game.
Yeah, I mean that's possible too.
Is just they are going for it. I mean, throwing on 4th and 5 against Tulane and picking it up. I mean, come on, this is where we are.
Yeah, true.
All right, let me go on. Let's talk about how to help Azure football, and I'll keep this brief. You know, Azure football is growing. Which is a little tough because right now all of our outlets, Twitter and Facebook and all those places, are actively demoting shared links on their spaces. You know, and bottom line is they want our content on their site for their advertisers, and we want it on our site for our advertisers. I mean, obviously, right? It feels to me like social media has become a shakedown, and I do understand that like it's a business for them too, but. So bottom line is we need you guys to sign up for the mailing list, like full stop, because that's the best way that you can stay in touch with Azure football. And if you really want to help us, forward that weekly mailer to one of your buddies who likes Army football but doesn't know about Azure football. And of course, if you want more, there's Patreon. We love our patrons. That is legitimately how we stay in business. You know, they get an extra article a week. They get early access to shows. Got the Firsty Club for top level patrons. I think most people would tell you who are in the Firsty Club that it's much better than they thought it would be. So if you're listening to this, thank you very much for your support. We definitely couldn't do this without you. The mailing list is free. So if you do one thing, sign up for that mailing list. Thanks. And I guess I'll go on with the favorite thing, considering that Army swimming swept Navy for the first time since 1988. I was totally expecting the men to win big, considering that they were close last year and they won 2 years ago, and they've had a couple of really strong recruiting classes, including this year with a top 15 recruiting class in the season, but in the country. But I did not expect the women to win. They also kicked ass and won solidly, which was like extremely surprising. It's pretty amazing. Coach Brent Nigro has done an outstanding job with the program. There's a lot going on with Army swimming. We might go into this more next week, but I have to do a little homework because I couldn't tell you. Like, they won 21 of 22 events or something insane like that, and I definitely am not prepared to tell you who all won all of those. But this freshman class of swimmers on both the men's and the women's side are just outstanding, and that's building on a couple of good classes that they already had in the bank. So
anyone want to take a guess on the Star Series this year?
Army must be up by 6.
9-2.
Oh, nice.
Only losses are men's rugby and men's cross country.
Well, that's pretty good. Yeah. We'll see how the back half goes, but it would be nice to actually win that one for once.
Yeah, that would be good. So you gotta, basketball is going to be a big determinant.
All right. That is all we got this week. It is Beat Navy week. I am going down there. Are either of you guys going?
No, unfortunately, I will be freezing up here in North Carolina, or down here, laterally, I guess. I don't even know. I look at my map. I'm lost.
I will be enjoying the not 40-degree weather in my living room.
Oh, very nice. Well, I think Jordan said he was going, but of course he's not here, so we can't ask him. But anyway, I will be there. Looking forward to seeing everybody. If you're there, you know, grab me. We'll take a picture together or whatever. I don't know. That's it. I am fired up, and I guess we'll see you. We'll see you Saturday. So go Army, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Beat them.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate, for supporting us and the Long Gray Line. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, reach out to Jocelyn. She's got your back. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share the show with your friends. And as always, beat Navy.